Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up. As young professionals ourselves, we're constantly striving to connect and uplift young people in the Toledo community. Our podcast is featuring young entrepreneurs and professionals in the area from all different industries and walks of life who are making an impact in Toledo.
We're excited to have our guests discuss their background, their education and training, and give any advice for other young professionals like us. We're also going to take a look at varying pop culture trends among Gen Zers like ourselves and discuss or debunk them, maybe even a little Roman Empire.
You know what I've been thinking about?
What, girl?
I've been thinking about the ins and outs of functioning on a daily basis.
It's hard.
It's so hard. And let me tell you what, I am a woman, if not of anything else, of efficiency. And I want to know what things I'm doing in my daily life that might not be the best thing for me.
And lucky for you, I think we have someone here that may be able to help you with that.
Oh my gosh, who is it?
Lauren Fioretta.
Woo! We are so excited to have Lauren here with us.
Yes. Hello,
what's
guys.
Up, Crane? I'm so excited you're here.
This is a crazy crossover episode for me because I am meeting one of Libby's childhood besties.
Yes.
So this is kind of crazy.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people. She went to Sylvania and Northview, and we've had a lot of Northview alum here. So I'm like, this is my time to shine.
Yeah.
This is Libby's hour. I'm just here, man. I don't know.
Yeah, it's awesome. So tell us a little bit about that. Where we went to high school.
Yeah, we need the background.
Yeah, for sure. So Libby and I grew up in Sandusky, Ohio.
Yes, we did.
Which is like a little, I wouldn't even say it's a country town, but it's like a cornfield town.
Yeah, you know? Very Ohio.
Yes, Ohio. That's how you describe it. But I honestly had a good high school experience. Libby and I were both band kids.
I was going to say, y'all met playing band, right? Playing in bands.
Yes. And everyone made fun of us probably, but did we care?
No, we had the best time.
Yeah, we had the best high school experience. We just kind of did whatever we wanted to. Yeah.
No traumatic lore to draw.
No traumatic, yeah, I hate to say it, but nothing
No, you should be glad to say it, man. I don't know.
Nothing in that portion of my life. Probably not until I got to college is when everything was, like, thrown at me and I had to learn how to be an adult quick.
Right. Well, and I want to talk about that because, obviously, growing up, you were really into art. I mean, you were involved in the arts being a band kid, of course. But then you also did, you know, some makeup artistry.
Yes.
And
yes.
Other things like
I know. I was thinking about your makeup times. I was like, that was so good.
And that's such, like, a fever dream moment of mine. Like, it's, like, a weird era. My makeup vibe, whole thing. I don't really know where it stemmed from. I just kind of started it one day and I would do it like religiously week to week.
Real.
I loved seeing the posts. I was like, what's she doing this time? Because it would be so fun, so colorful.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, it would start just as face painting, but then I got into like the special effects.
Yeah.
Like stuff, like movie type stuff.
For sure.
And I had like an Instagram page dedicated to that. And so, like, everyone from school followed it, and it was, like, kind of embarrassing because I remember, did you ever have Mrs. Moyer?
No, I didn't.
She made a huge deal out of it every single week.
Oh, no.
And, like, would come in and tell everyone in the class to go look at the post this
week. Oh, my God, she's just proud of you.
I know. She was, like, a little mom. Like, she was so cute. But, yeah, like, high school me was like, shut up, mom. Like, I'm blushing.
But tell me, you know, how you kind of went from being so involved in artistic pursuits to then going to, because, you know, you studied at UT. So talk a little bit about the transition from that, then moving completely different avenues to occupational therapy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in high school, I kind of had no clue what I wanted to do. I obviously loved art and I had since I was like a little kid, and my mom actually was trying to pursue me to go to school for art and something. Like, she was like, what about graphic design or like something of that realm? But me being like an obstinate teen, I was like, no, mom, like I'll make no money as an artist, I'm going into the medical field.
I just have to point out how ironic it is that it's literally like your mom's like, follow your dream, and you're like, no. I'm gonna be in medicine. Yes.
Yeah, and she's like, okay, like, fine.
Darn, so, my kid's gonna be like a doctor or something. Wow.
Yeah, but I originally wanted to go to be an ultrasound tech.
Oh, cool.
And I heard about occupational therapy, like, during my orientation. So I hadn't even started ultrasound. And I was like, yeah, I want to do OT. Like, that's kind of the world for me. So that's when I switched over. And I had never heard of OT or anything before that. And I feel like that's a, like, it is a very, I don't know how to describe it. Like, not a lot of people know what OT is. They've heard of physical therapy. Right. Yeah. So, okay, so occupational therapy is we want to make our clients as independent as possible. So we don't want them to depend on anyone for anything.
Right.
And that's basically the basis of it. So the analogy I gave Libby was physical therapy will make sure your muscles are working, you can get up and walk to the mailbox. Mm-hmm. But OT is going to make sure you have your pants on because you can't get the mail without your pants on.
Right.
You can, but I mean, you could, but
you'd
like,
be risking a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it acceptable? So we help the individuals be able to dress themselves, feed themselves, take care of others, take care of pets, do anything that you would do day to day on your own, basically.
Yeah. The tasks of yeah. Right. Yeah.
So from that, you can go in a billion different places. We can work in schools, hospitals, psych units, really anywhere. I want to end up in outpatient pediatrics. Mm. I love my kiddos. They're
That's
so,
so sweet.
Cute. Yeah. And I really thrive well with like ages 3 to 8. Anything above or below that is out of my range. No
okay,
thanks.
Okay, Libby, let's go home.
Yeah, you guys get out. Okay, like, yeah. It's just the kids.
That is fair. Yeah. That is kind of like prime age for children. Like, it's not too little that you have to like learn about all that developmental stuff. It's like, but you're not like a teenager and grumpy
and
all
that. Once they start like talking back, no thanks.
Right.
Yeah.
That's totally fair.
And that's fascinating too, because they are in the early developmental stages of their lives. So I would imagine that OT would be like a little bit more impactful when you're still trying to mentally develop as well.
That's very true. And a lot of people don't see that. Mm-hmm. Like, especially with kids, like when they hear occupational therapy for kids, the first response is like, You're helping kids get jobs, like because they hear occupation and like think jobs.
Right.
Like no, but that really is like the most prevalent time. We even have OTs in hospitals with like the NICU babies, and like our primary like concern in that area is like making sure the child has a smooth transition from the womb to the world. And not many people think about that, like how rough it is for that baby. You know, like obviously mom's going through it, everybody's going through it, but the baby is going from this like dark little cocoon and then like beeping and lights and everything. So that's really where OTs step in. But
also, please make that the title of your memoir, From Womb to World.
That's perfect.
That's iconic, actually.
From Womb to World. That's crazy.
I love that.
Yeah, but in like the 3 to 8 realm, it's kind of like making sure they're on track for their milestones and they are playing appropriately. They are doing all of their activities of daily living. That's what we call ADLs, doing their ADLs by themselves, you know, getting dressed, brushing their own teeth, and addressing which areas are of concern. So
awesome.
I just finished, it was a 12-week field work at an outpatient peds facility, and it was the cutest thing ever. It was so hard saying goodbye.
Oh, yeah, I
but
bet.
Yeah, like I'm with these kids every single week.
Right.
And, like,
is it a lot of one-on-one relationship like that?
Yeah, it basically, the place I was at was like, I am one-on-one with a kid for an hour and then drop them off. Another kid comes in. So it's basically just going one-on-one with these kids all day.
Right.
Which
I
like.
Week after week, yeah. You would start mm-hmm. building that relationship. That would be so yeah. hard to say goodbye.
It was so hard.
And I want to talk more, too, about your field work, but I kind of want to run it back a little bit to your schooling process.
Yeah, we gotta run it back. We got a little okay. ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, I forgot what the question was.
No, you're
sorry,
fine.
Totally fine.
No, but I, you know, obviously, like, it takes a lot of schooling to go through any sort of medical profession. So maybe if you want to just walk us through a little bit of that process and kind yeah. of, you know, what that looked like for you at UT.
Yeah. So, like I said, I got an orientation. I was like, OT is for me. I was like, I want to do that. And they said, you can't just go into OT. Like, that's not what you do. And I was like, okay. Like, as an 18-year-old, like, what do you even mean? They were like, you had to go to an undergrad for 4 years of a different major and then do grad school for OT.
Right.
And that was it's 2 to 3 years depending on your school. Gotcha. Toledo was 3 years of grad school. Mm-hmm. So my undergrad was recreational therapy. I did that for 4 years, and that is similar to OT, core values.
Right, or the background.
Yeah, the background yeah. and stuff like that. Very client-centered, goal-driven, stuff like that. And I liked rec therapy, but I knew that I wanted to keep going OT, and because that's what my heart was set on.
That makes sense.
For sure.
So I got in OT, which was, like, a huge relief. I didn't apply to any other school, which was probably not the greatest idea, but I put all my eggs in one basket, and it paid off, so that was okay. Got into UT. I graduate in May, so I'm in my third year. But basically, the first year is very lecture-driven, very information-based, throwing a lot of stuff at you at once. And then kind of in the second year, you get more clinical experience. And then third year is just clinical experience. So I'm not in the classroom at all. But also, there's the pros and cons to that. Like, basically, what's the word? Working without pay.
Right.
That's obviously the con.
Right.
But once I get through that and I get a paycheck, it'll all be worth it.
So true. Yes. I was going to say, I feel like any sort of medical profession or things like that, it's kind of like long hours and lots of work mm-hmm. for a big payoff at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and not only even in the money, obviously mm-hmm. that's a big factor. But then at the same time, it's just the payoff of being able to do something every day that you are really passionate about and helping people every day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the most, like, direct impact jobs I've, you know, ever seen.
Yeah, thank you. It really doesn't get the recognition that it deserves, I think, like, OT in the field. But when you're in, like, a outpatient place like I'm at, so it's just occupational therapy, physical therapy, and speech therapy, mm-hmm. just those three in the building. And it is great, like, everyone works so well together.
That's
and
awesome.
It's like, yeah, like everyone has a treatment team and we basically just sit in the office and talk about all of our clients, what's working, what's not, what else we can do. And it's just really,
which is really awesome. Like, you're working on the patient as a whole, not
right.
just occupational physical speech. Like,
right.
you're
yeah.
kind of looking at the whole picture, which I think sometimes we don't always have in the medical field.
Yeah. Cause like in the hospital, it very much is like, OT goes in, okay, they get out, and then nursing will go in, they document, they do whatever, get out, and then PT goes in. So it's like shifts almost,
yeah.
where like if you're working in the same environment, you kind of just get to chatting and talking, and since you're in similar fields, you kind of can appreciate each other.
For sure.
Like, I know speech is another like unappreciated field.
So true.
Like,
shout out speech therapy. I saw a speech therapist for years, babes. It was great.
I had never seen anything with speech. Like, I obviously knew that they were purposeful. I didn't know in which ways, like, okay, yeah, you help somebody speak, but going into this field work and seeing directly like how speech works with clients is like absolutely insane, and I have so much respect for them.
Oh yeah. Are yeah. there any kind of like hidden things or things that people might not know about OT that could be really helpful?
I think, well, honestly, my main thing is I honest God think that everyone should go to OT. Like, I need OT. Everyone I know needs OT in some way or another, whether that's like being able to manage your own time and schedule or like, which is something that I like learning about that in school. I was like, oh my God, I'm literally doing this all wrong. And they're teaching me how to do my schedule, which was like, I'm getting OT just from learning.
Right.
And so it's like you're saying, little things that you wouldn't even think of that need to be addressed.
Yeah.
And like being in PEDS, I'm able to see like the reflexes that should be, you know, gone by now, and how you're supposed to do certain things, and how that was, or how that transfers to me as a kid and what I, you know, went through. I never did OT or anything, but like we work a lot with handwriting. Mm-hmm. I do not hold my.
Oh yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, I don't hold my pencil in the correct way, even a little bit. Like it is whack. Like, I wrap all of my fingers around it.
Sorry that you guys have to miss the live demonstration.
I know. I'm literally holding it right now. Like, all of my fingers are wrapped around. All of my teachers have seen me write and be like, girl, you're going to have arthritis by the time you're, like, 26.
Oh, no.
It's like, that's really good. Thank you so much. But I'm like, bro, why didn't anyone catch that as a kid? Like, yeah. Put me in OT. Teach me how to hold a pencil right.
So, you know, you're going through your undergrad and then like your first couple years transitioning into now field work. Would you say that getting into that field work and actually being there with the patient has been the most rewarding part of your schooling so far?
I would definitely say so. Like in lectures, it's so hard to kind of comprehend what they're talking about. If like I'm a very visual learner, as I feel like many people are. And if you're getting thrown case study after case study, like here is a 4-year-old boy named Thomas and he can't see, like I'm
right.
Like okay,
it's just
I,
all words on a page,
yeah,
right,
like,
yeah,
where is Thomas? I need to visualize him. Like
I can't have empathy for Thomas if right. I don't know who he
I
is.
I don't care about Thomas. Like I don't. But if there was a little boy in here named Thomas, I'd be in love with him,
right?
Like I would give yeah. him all the resources he
you're
needs.
Like that's my child.
Yeah. Thomas is mine.
Help you.
Yes.
Right.
So it's just different seeing like how that can transfer to an actual client. And also kids are all so different that like you see one kid and they may have the same diagnosis as another, but it's so different and so variable that you one intervention isn't going to work for the same kid with the same disability, if that
yeah.
makes sense. So just being able to see the variety in things we can do and like addressing the goals has been like so much fun. And like my brain hurts after the day trying
yeah.
to rack my head around everything that I learned. Like it has been such a great learning experience overall.
Definitely.
And yeah, we have like a fieldwork educator and I'm basically just shadowing him, and he has been the greatest at like leading me and letting me make my own decisions with these clients, but like telling me, hey, what if we thought about doing this instead?
Right.
And, you know, he's just been great at that. And so that learning experience in its own has been more. I've learned more in the past 12 weeks than I have, I think, the whole maybe year and a half
for
of
sure.
schooling,
definitely.
Which is insane, but that's the payoff.
That's well, the same way I am too. Like I have to do mm-hmm. something to learn
right.
it. Like you
yeah.
can tell it to me as many times as you want. It's not getting through my head
right.
until I
yeah.
actually do it.
And obviously in the field work right now, you're not necessarily kind of just thrown to the wolves on your own. Like you have
mm-hmm.
people supporting you and helping guide you through different situations. But because every client is so different, how do you navigate making decisions in situations where you might not necessarily know the best course of action or feel the most prepared for that person?
Mm-hmm. So my kind of process is each client will have like, at least in my placement, they'll have like 5 to 8 goals, you know, overall. And I'll like highlight the main parts of those goals, whether if it's like strengthening their hands or their body posture or
mm-hmm.
their fine motor skills or like core balance, anything like that, I'll just highlight that out of the whole goal and specifically target interventions for those 5 or whatever things. And then I'll usually have like 2 or 3 options for each, just because with kids, your plan is never going to go the way you want it to. They could veto something so quick and you just kind of have to go with it. All
right.
Let them lead sometimes
mm-hmm.
and just have backup plans ready. So
do you have from your field work right now a particular, and obviously like HIPAA, so I'm not going to ask you to violate, but do you have like a particular kid that you've worked with that you felt was either a big challenge that really paid off or just one that really stuck out to you and made an impact on your pursuit of the career?
Yeah, I feel like I've had a lot of those. There was this one kiddo, though. He was so cute. He, I want to say maybe two.
Oh.
Like, just a little guy. Oh. And his main concern was feeding. Like, he was a really picky eater. He didn't like textured foods.
Facts.
Yeah, like, we get it, King. Like, it's fine. But you got to eat.
Right, yeah,
so
yeah.
I was just kind of, my whole 1 hour session with him was just sitting down at the kitchen table and eating, like his mom would pack like 8 different foods for him to try.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just sit there with him and put each one on his plate, aww, see if he'll eat it, try different things to get him to eat it. We did a lot of like shaving cream play, yes, on the table just to get him like touching, you know, mushy,
iconic,
like, yeah, like texture stuff, mm-hmm, like that. But he hated it. He,
oh no, like,
he, like, I would hold up food for him, like, you know, like an airplane. Yeah. Oh, it's coming. And I, his face, he would get so mad and he would be in his high chair and just push all the way back and like strain his neck all the way back.
Aww.
And I'm like, okay, like, it's fine. But I was working with one day and I was trying to get him to eat a goldfish cracker. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, here he comes. He's swimming in. And he was doing that thing, like leaning back, giving me the face. So I put it down. I was like, okay, you don't need to eat it. And then he just picked it up and threw it in his mouth and it was chewing it and he swallowed it. And it like shocked me. So I was like, oh. And I made that sound and he looked at me and he had these huge eyes and he looks at me, but I didn't want to say anything. So we're both just staring at each other. And then he starts like chewing and swallows it. And I was like, yay, you ate a goldfish. Aww. Like, I'm so proud of you.
That's,
and like,
so cute.
It was like, ever since then, if I made it into like a game of like, oh, you shouldn't eat that. Don't you eat that. Don't you dare eat that. He would shove it in his mouth real quick and we would like laugh.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah. I'm like, you little trickster. Yeah. So I'm just bullying this kid the whole time. I'm really not mad about it.
I feel like occupational therapy, actually bullying. Thank you.
Yep, it's helping him. Like, I don't know. He was so cute and he was just so fun to work with, but I'm definitely going to miss him a lot. I cried a little bit my last, aww, session with him. I was like, I can't give you up.
Right.
But I was like, I'm so excited. You're going to, yeah, do so well.
So tell us too, like, you're getting all these experiences. Do you have your like dream? Obviously you want to work with kids and stay in that. Do you have your dream like setting for doing that? Is it your own practice? Is it school, large hospital?
I don't know really. And that's really like variable to me. I think just outpatient peds in general is kind of the setting I could see myself, whether that is like in a hospital or like a private practice. I myself would not open a private practice. We literally had to do like a whole assignment in school where we built our own private practice and like we had to figure out the funding and the staff members and the budget, how much is this, this, and that. And the whole time I'm like, I will never be doing this. Like, I
immediately know.
Yeah, I'm not opening my own practice. I am not going through all of this, but at least I know how to.
Right.
So true.
But well, I still,
you know,
will
it's
never.
Not for you. Like, at least you're not in, right, over your head, yeah, trying to do it.
So if anyone wants to be a private practice OT, I know the tricks of the trade.
Hit her up, yeah.
Yeah,
man,
hit me up. I'll never use them.
People, I think, undervalue the fact that going through schooling and going through the real experiences, you not only learn what you want to do and it solidifies what you want to do, but you also learn the things you definitely don't want to,
right,
do, too.
And that is a very good point. Like, I was in a lot of nursing home clinicals.
Yeah.
Very much not for me.
Mm-hmm.
I am peds all the way. Anything, yeah, like adults, older adults is not for me, and that's how I figured that out, was,
right,
going,
yeah,
through these clinicals and having the worst time, but at least
that's,
I know,
you gotta do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just helping the future of the world.
Yeah.
You're fostering,
we'll,
these future generations.
Right. Sure.
I do want to transition a little bit back to art.
Okay.
I know you've recently started doing live wedding paintings, which I think is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it has been so much fun. Okay, so I started live wedding paintings, I want to say about like 7 or 8 months ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, cool.
And it was because one of my classmates in grad school, she's engaged. She came to me and she was like, oh, I really want a live wedding painter, but there's literally none in Toledo that she could find. And then the closest one was like in Detroit, and they were so expensive and it was out of her budget. And she was complaining about it. And she was like, Lauren, like, you're a painter. Like, can you just do it? And I was like, that is a large ask.
Yeah. Like, at your wedding, bro? I don't know.
In front of everyone? Like, I've never painted a person. And you want me to paint you live in a wedding dress? No. Like, but I was like, you know what? Let me just see if I could do it. She sent me a picture of their venue. So I went home that night and I like painted the venue. I painted some random couple I found on the internet in there, and I sent her a picture of it. And so her fiance at the time was very much anti live painter. He was like, I'm not spending money for that. So you're over. Ridiculous. Very man.
Very man. Boy,
yes. You're crazy. I'm not paying that much money for a painting. Da 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 da. And then I remember I FaceTimed my classmate, and I was like, this is probably what it would look like. And he was like in the background on the FaceTime, and he was like, yeah, we can get that. And I was like, yeah, I know. I know,
man,
it's
that's
good.
Actually really cool. I don't
yeah,
know.
I was like, I want one of those. Yeah. Even though I was talking bad about it, I changed my mind. So that's how it all started. Her wedding is not until next year. But since I knew that I would be painting at this wedding now, I'm like, okay, now I got to do some practice ones, like, yeah. I gotta get some practice under my belt. So I just started painting random couples, like, from the internet. I was painting, like, some friends that had gotten married, like, another one of my classmates who had recently gotten married. And with each one, I can see them getting better and better in the progress I'm cool. making with it, which is so cool to see. But I had my first actual wedding this past weekend. It was so cute. It was the groom. He found my website, my painting website, and booked me. And it was a surprise to the bride that I was coming. And so she didn't find out till before. And it was so cute. And she was so excited. And so it was myself and my assistant, Annabelle. I don't like calling her my assistant, though, because we've literally been best friends since, like, kindergarten. I hired her because I didn't want to make my own TikToks, like, that side right. of things, and producing TikToks and, like, getting my name out there in the world and gaining exposure is literally my nightmare. I don't want to do anything in the marketing side. Like, let me just do the art. I hate making TikToks. Like, it is my nightmare.
I know. Me and Libby are, like, eye twitching right now.
Yeah, it's the worst. Like, it takes way too much time.
Which is also kind of funny to me, because not to call you out on main, but I know y'all did Vine reenactments in high school. So let's be so real.
I didn't edit any of them.
Right. No, fair. That's fair.
No, that
no,
was
yeah,
some
No, yeah, you're
of
just in front of the camera. Like, you're the yeah. star, and that's
right.
enough.
So she had done marketing and made TikToks for her business. I don't even, not her business, but the business she worked at. I don't even remember what it was. But so I knew she had experience in it. She was like, sure, like, I'll come with you, film. And I, honest to God, I don't think I could have done it without her. It was such a busy day that she wasn't even just doing the filming. Like, she was, it was kind of a disaster. I'm not going to lie. Everything was so unorganized, and like, it wasn't our fault, but it was just overall, she was doing way more for me than I thought she would have had to. But she's been already making the TikToks, and they're so cute already.
I can't
wait till she posts them. But we had a great time. The bride and groom were incredible, so amazing. They were adorable. All of the guests were amazing. Yeah, it yeah. was just the other staff members.
Fair.
Like the wedding planner, the caterers.
I'll call them out.
The photographer. Everyone had beef with Annabelle and I the second we stepped on the scene. And I don't know what it was about us. It was so strange.
The wedding industry catty.
I know. It was like, it's our first day out here. Like, what do you mean? It was cutthroat.
Oh, man.
From the minute we got there. And we were like, hold on a second. Like, I'm just here to paint.
Right. Yeah, so like, painting, did it come out okay in the end?
So, yeah, it was good. Well, okay, here was the issue. I had gotten to the wedding 2 hours before the ceremony started so I could work on the background, you know, before everyone got there and be ready to paint in the couple.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they say I do's, whatever, I get the picture from the photographer, we're good to go. I could not find the wedding planner when we got there. I called her. She didn't answer the phone. First red flag.
Oh, man.
And then I call her again. She was like, okay, yeah, I'm in the back. Like, just come around. I'll meet you over there. We go around the back. Girl is nowhere to be found. We spent like 45 minutes of that 2 hours, like, looking for her and getting all set up. And, like, I started to panic towards the end. I was like, dude, like, yeah. I need to be painting. Right. Like, I am already so behind that I don't even know what I'm going to do. So the ceremony happens. It was so gorgeous. They were so cute. And I guess I just didn't really think about the order at which I should have been painting, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, my process is I want to finish the background to completion before I paint the couple in. That was not an option because I was so rushed and I couldn't find the wedding painter for however long. So I had to kind of skip through steps and come back to them later.
Fair.
Which is making a lot of work for me now after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of like rushing in. I slapped their faces on there just so there was something. And like, to me, it looked like garbage. I was like, these people are literally paying me for this and this is what I'm giving them at the wedding. But then everyone that came up was like, oh my God, it's gorgeous. It's so beautiful.
Good.
They even said it was gorgeous. But in my head, I was like, dude, all I can see are the flaws, and I'm going to be spending hours on this after the fact. But at least
it must be difficult for you, too, because you work in a job, like a day job, that is so much more analytical than, you know, so you're kind of focused on that perfectionism a little bit more in that job.
Right.
But then in the artistry aspect of it, it's a little more like, you know, you're focusing a lot more on your flaws than other people would be just because you know what you wanted it to look like.
Right.
But I think it's really cool, though, still that you do art in addition to OT. Like, I love that you have carried that through your life and haven't given that up just to pursue this other job. And I'm sure your mom's thrilled, too.
Oh, yeah. She's my number one fan.
I love it.
Yeah. And part of me kind of thinks, like, what if I did listen to her and went for art for school? Like, my life would be completely different.
Right.
I would have none of this medical field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that OT is almost a benefit to my artistry in a way that it makes me, like, OT has made me such an organized, like, critical thinker. And I've carried that into the artist world of, like, okay, how am I going to attack this painting? What do I need to do first? I need to prioritize. Okay, I need to get their faces on here, but I need to finish the background. Which one am I going to do first?
Right.
Kind of do it that way. So I honestly do think that it's benefited me as an artist. So
yes, combining your skills.
Yes,
I love
I was
to
like,
see
mom, I knew it. Like, I needed some type of medical field, but I also am glad that I've stuck with this throughout my whole schooling because it has been so hard. I feel like I haven't gotten like a breath to take, or like a break, but I wouldn't change it. Like, I love doing art and I think it's a huge stress relief. I did take a break from it for a while, during my TikTok era because it was so much work.
So fair.
Yeah.
And it was becoming like, I love doing the art side of things, but it is so not worth it trying to edit these TikToks, and like it was like starting to feel like work, and I was like, I feel like I need to be getting paid for this.
Yeah.
And that's when you know that you need to take a break.
For sure.
Yeah because definitely. I needed to love it again.
And you, throughout this whole episode, have given us a lot of really great pieces of advice to kind of carry with us out there. I mean, you know, combining your interests and following, you know, what you want to do and pursuing different things at the same time. But I want to know, ultimately, what advice you would give to other young professionals who are trying to decide what they want to do or maybe have split interests.
I would say don't give up on either, but you also don't want to split your attention unfairly where you're giving half of your attention to each instead of your full attention to one, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like, I am very much so splitting it up. This is my school time. This is my art time. And I don't confuse those because I feel like it just takes different thinking abilities,
for sure,
if that makes sense. And I'm almost like overloading my brain if I try to go too quickly from one thing to the other.
Yeah.
So I guess I would say don't quit on either let me get my thought together first.
You're fine.
I'm trying to be like all philosophical. Don't give up on either, but also make sure that you're in it for the right reasons. And if you think that you want to quit, maybe you just need a break. Like I said, you need to love it again before you start it again, if that makes sense.
It's everybody's favorite time of the podcast, which is our Roman Empires.
Woo-hoo.
And so I'm going to have Libby kick it off today because she has a pretty interesting one, I think.
Oh, good.
So I saw a TikTok recently of an Australian news station. And their newscaster on there, his name was Nate, I think, and he frequently has panic attacks on air, and I thought it was really great how they handled it with, like, so much grace. He was like, hey guys, I'm taking a break because this is going on, and they passed it off, and it was so seamless, and they put up a piece about, what that means and how he's dealing with everything, and it was such a nice balance of, like, just the kindness and, like, the informative nature of it. And I thought it was really awesome, like, as someone with a lot of anxiety and panic attacks and all of that, like, you maybe would think you couldn't have a profession that would be live on air, but they were just so kind. It felt honestly so revolutionary to how we deal with mental health, and I just really loved it. It was inspiring.
That. Yeah. Nice.
Yes, we love good journalism and we love good people.
Love that.
Shout out Australia.
So real. Mine today is, I'm very excited because I'm in a musical right now.
Aww.
And I do theater a lot, so that's not really, you know, that's kind of like my side gig. But I'm playing one of my dream roles, which is Alyssa Green in The Prom. So if anybody listening has ever seen the Broadway show or watched the Netflix movie with Meryl Streep, it's
Ooh, okay.
super iconic, actually, and she can sing so well. But Ariana DeBose plays Alyssa Green in the movie, and I just really resonate with that character. She's very, like, type A and stressed and just, you know, gay and stuff, like me, so that's great. But yeah, so I relate to her a lot, and it's been really healing to play this character more than anything because she has this pivotal scene in the show where she comes out to her mom, and it is such an inspiring scene to any young person or person in general who might be nervous coming out to their parents because she's been so afraid of her mom's homophobia this whole show. And then they have this really beautiful and cathartic scene at the end where she feels like she's starting to get through to her mom. And I'm really excited and nervous to play such an important scene for people to see. But I also am definitely up for the challenge because I think it's too important not to share with everybody who might be going through the same thing. So I'm pretty excited.
Yes. I love that. That sounds incredible.
Thanks. I'm so excited.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I can't wait to watch it.
I want to go see. When is it?
I know. Hit me up. I'll text you the deets.
All right.
But so it's your turn.
Okay. So when you guys told me a Roman Empire and it could be like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So a while ago, I want to say like maybe a year ago, I was still in my TikTok era, making all my TikToks, whatever, and I got this email from this guy, I think his name was Ben, but he was like, "Hey, Lauren, my name's Ben. I'm from Australia." Again, shout out Australia.
Australia theme.
They, yeah, I guess. But he was like, "I own this coloring book company. I've seen your TikToks. I think you're an incredible artist. I really want to know if you want to make a coloring book with my company." And I was like, "Dude, that's sick. Like, are you kidding? Like, yes, I want to make my art into coloring books. Like, of course I want to do that." So I was like emailing with Ben on and off for a really long time. We made the coloring book.
Oh.
Like, I have a whole coloring book all about, wait for it, Rome.
Okay.
Whoa. It's crazy. Literally crazy.
Literally the Roman Empire.
Yes, all of the Roman Empire. Like, I drew these pictures, but it was also kind of sketchy. Like,
fair.
He was being kind of weird.
Right, like, I was like, my red flag is going off. Yeah. How does this end?
Yes, it was kind of sketchy in the fact that, like, why are you picking me? Why are you in Australia? Also, he was like, you don't have to make all of the coloring book pages. Just do, like, a few and we'll make the rest. And I was like, okay.
Okay, so, weird.
Yeah, so it's not even all of my drawings. It's like, I don't know who drew the rest. But I was like, can we get on like a video call or something? Like, something about this is like sketchy. I get on a Zoom. He was like, absolutely. Like, I'm willing to do that. We get on this Zoom call. He is the most fine man I've ever seen in my entire life. Oh, he popped up on my screen. I was like, Ben, who are you? Like, he has this Australian accent. He's like my age. He looked like he just got done surfing.
Lovely.
I was like, stop. And he's just talking to me about this coloring book. Like, totally normal conversation. He's like, yes, I would love to make more coloring books with you. Like, if you have any ideas, like, shoot them over to me. Da 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 da. Like, the coloring book was on Amazon. I think it still might be. I have it. My mom bought a copy of it. Like, it has my name on it. But the problem is, all this happens, and then I was like, nothing really happened after that. Like, we had talked about, like, where does my compensation come in? Like, yeah. I forget what the deal was. But then all of a sudden, he, like, fell off the face of the earth.
Oh, my gosh.
No way. And you were never compensated?
Well, I don't think anyone bought the book.
Oh,
except
fair.
For me and my mom. Like, those were the only two copies.
You guys get your money back, right?
Yeah, it was so strange. And, like, I was like, I need to do some research, because what happened to Ben?
Yeah, hello, real.
Your
husband, I fear.
What happened to him? The entire company is gone. I can't find it anywhere. Like,
that is crazy.
I don't know. And so I just randomly have a coloring book now, like, like, framed in my apartment.
Iconic. I'm about to come over and color it. Sorry.
I have two copies, actually. So there were three copies sold.
Wow.
One of them I actually colored in, and the one I was, like, saving. That's the one in the frame.
Nice.
Nobody touches it.
Right.
But it's, like, a $10 coloring book.
That's wild. I love that. I love that it's Rome, too. That's
I know.
Perfect.
Isn't that crazy? And it was around the time, or it might have been right before the whole Roman Empire meme came out.
Yeah.
And so I was, like, why did he predict that? Like, I don't know.
You said, boy, do I have a story for you.
You said, Rome, I got a Rome story.
Right.
Have I ever been there? Absolutely not. I would love to go. I've drawn a million pictures of it.
Still fair.
But Ben can no longer be found. He can't be contacted. He was really attractive for no reason.
And okay, all of our listeners,
gone.
Find Ben,
find
2K24.
Ben. I have no clue what
that
his last
is
name
so
is.
Crazy. His name's not Ben,
right?
Oh, definitely not. I have no clue who that man was. But I know he was real. I was on a video call with him. Yeah. I don't know. Something about it was weird. So bonus points to whoever can find my coloring book on Amazon, because I'm sure it's down there deep. I don't know.
Well,
but
Lauren,
that's my Roman Empire.
Thank you so much
for
being on the show.
I'm honored. I'm so glad you guys wanted me on here. That's such a privilege.
We want to thank Lauren Fioretta, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley. Our executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcasts. Bye, besties!
Bye, besties!
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.